100 Word Stories. Hello, everyone. This is the 100 Word Stories podcast at podcasting.isfullofcrap.com. I'm your host, Lawrence Simon. This is an extra special weekly challenge today because it's for the Relay for Life and Second Life. I posted the topic of life 2 weeks ago and said for every person sending in a recorded story for this challenge, I'd throw in a buck. Up to 100 bucks. And, well, a few folks joined in that effort to match the fundraising, and we've got some matching going on. So I'm going to say more about that in the final tally at the end of the show and in the show notes. It will do the math and carry the two, but man, do we have a lot of really good stories for you today on the topic of life. So let's get things started with a story from Jeffrey. That's right, Jeffrey Fisher. I think it's his first time here, so welcome to the podcast, Jeffrey. And here's your story.
Well, Mr. Lawrence Simon, you finally induced me to write a 100-word story. I've been reading them for a while. I've never written one before, much less recorded one. But you got me to do it. Why? Because I can't resist spending a dollar of Crap Mariner's money. For a good cause, of course. So go Relay. What's this stuff? Is it supposed to be good for you? I don't know. I'm not going to try it. You try it. I know. Let's get Mikey. He hates everything. Mikey dutifully spooned up one mouthful after another. Anxieties, awkward moments, mishaps, and heartbreak sprinkled with just a hint of happiness. It tasted bitter. The other two looked at one another, fearful to dig in. Mikey, how is it? Mikey started to say, great, have a big bowl. But before he could finish the first word, he clutched his stomach and ran for the bathroom, where the sound of retching was soon heard. The two boys quickly put down their spoons and looked at one another. What was that? One asked. That's life.
I am so glad that you're willing to spend my money. That's great, because it's all for a good cause. Thank you, Jeffrey. And I think we're going to be hearing a few more about Mikey from all the coming stories. It's kind of a recurring theme. It's going to be neat to see how people take different takes and angles on it. That's what I love about the weekly challenges. It's you take a topic and some people see the same thing, but they come at it from different ways. So this is going to be just, you're going to love this. Next up, it's going to be Vivienne Dogere. Did I pronounce that right? I hope I did. And she's over at myblackrose.net. So here's Vivienne and her story.
Waking. Sunlight seeps through the darkness into her dream. She is young again. She wakes up smiling and excited. She is at her grandma and grandpa's farm. She jumps out of bed and climbs onto the chest in front of the window. The clothesline below is filled with birds, cheeping and squawking. It is a new day, and anything can happen. Across miles and time, another girl wakes up in that same bedroom to the morning song of the birds. She screams for her mother. The ghost is back, kneeling on nothing in midair, looking out of the window.
Ooh, cool imagery, Vivienne. Thank you. Ooh, and you're getting some people coming back now. Bot Girl has returned. Oh, yes, and by the way, Bot Girl has also offered to be one of the people matching. So thank you, Bot Girl, for that. And did we reach our goal? I don't know. We're going to find out at the end of the show, unless you've cheated and just gone to the show notes or watch the... You people cheat all the time, don't you? I'm going to flip to the back of the book and see, oh, wait, the butler did it. Or I'm going to go on Wikipedia and see how the movie ends. Now I can watch it on TV while drunk. Here's Bot Girl's story.
Stop! Jim gasped, struggling to free himself as the sizzling red-hot poker inched its way towards his spasming sphincter. That was a fucking rhetorical statement. I'm sorry, Mr. Jones, but I'm a literalist, Satan said, without even the faintest trace of sarcasm. You humans talk about hell like it's some sort of metaphor. How quaint. But a promise is a promise.
It was a stupid bar bet,
Jim interrupted, in urgent desperation.
You didn't tell me who you were.
And a bet is a bet, Satan continued. You bet your life. Now it's mine to use as I please.
Thank you, Batgirl. And, oh yeah, something I should have pointed out at the beginning. This podcast does have an explicit tag, so some words may slip in here and there. So if those kind of things offend you, eek! You've been warned. Well, okay, a little too late. But your iTunes will say explicit tag. But wait, I'm not listening to it through iTunes. I'm listening to it through the website. All right, I'm going to put up on the website. This thing does have an explicit tag. Some people. Oh, well. Let's move on to the next story, shall we? Yes, it's going to be Lede Ponier. I really hope I'm pronouncing these names right. But the good news is, most people say their names within the stories, and then I can get all apologetic afterwards. All right, here's Letty's story, and this is going to be really cool. I'm just loving all these stories. I'm just looking down, scrolling up and down this vault, just wow! All right, can I be a little more enthusiastic? Yes, I can!
She'd play Laura Nero in the car. These days it's mostly talk radio. She wasn't expected to have these days. Years ago she wasn't expected to have a daughter either. On the way to her last treatment, for half a decade, she heard Laura had passed, when she herself was becoming a survivor. Again, but not the last time. Some take their second chance at life and follow the clichés up mountains and pyramids, down the Nile, or out of a plane. By the fifth, it became simpler. About cherishing the gifts of music, talk, and her grown, improbable family.
Wow, that's powerful there. Thank you, Letty. We're going to get a lot of those, considering that this show was done for Relay for Life. Although, every now and then, someone's going to throw a little curveball in here. But, wow. Whew, I'm going to take a moment to catch my breath here. While I'm catching my breath, let's welcome Anne Mina into our little circle of stories. We've got a lot of people trying this for the first time, or at least trying it here for the first time. I'm sure they've been over at other places like Escape Pod or Drabblecast, or could we hope for Michael Sanborn Smith, a Beware the Hairy Mango, coming here for this cause? I don't know. I could beg him. I'm going to try begging him. No, wait, it's too late, because all the stories were due. Maybe he'll slip one in while I'm doing this, and well, I don't know. I'm just so confused. Well, here's Anne Mina with her story. Welcome to the show.
In 1966, he gave me a silver ring. The ring was tight, but I got it on. I wore it on my right hand for years. Then I took it off. None were fooled. I put it back on and bought him a silver ring for his right hand. He wore it for years, then he didn't. I repaired his ring, giving it back to him for our 10th. In 2009, I said, "Buy me a silver ring that fits, like the one you gave me years ago." I tried on every ring to fit my older fingers. One fit.
Aww, that's so sweet. I hope we can keep this momentum up of sweet stories, although I do like the crazy ones. Ooh, maybe a crazy sweet one. Well, perhaps next week. Thank you, Anne. Oh, who's next? D-Mom-2K-Darwin. See, I've actually said that. It's all spelled out. I get a little confused with the numbers and the letters. I think it's a password and realize I shouldn't be saying it. Then I get out my little two-form security and, ooh, what's the number on that thing? What was I saying? Oh, Bruin doesn't care. Here's D-Mom-2K and her story. And welcome, welcome! I'm really going to run out of weird things to say by the end of this, aren't I? I'm going to be like, okay, here's the next one, here's the next one, oh God. Sorry, it's too early for me to be grousing. Here's her story.
Quality and disaster. We had storms and lost power for several days. It amazed me that without power how quiet it was. Once the storm damage was cleaned up, I had little to do, so I sat on the front porch, fanning myself, watching life go on around me. It was business as usual for the robin on her nest who had survived the storm. Neighbors walked around chatting about the fallen tree that blocked our street. They wondered when power would come back or where the best place was to find ice or food. Quality of life was still there, just different.
Just different. Isn't that what life is about? Different. Thank you, D-Mom-2K. I want to say that real fast. D-Mom-2K. Whew. Oh, man. It's been a... If you can't tell, I'm doing these on different days. As the stories come in each day, I'm putting them in the package, and that way the next Sunday isn't going to be all crazy. I mean, they're all done Sunday morning, and I am so tired having to... I can't fool anybody. Somebody else I can't fool. We have someone new here. It's a Shante McCoy, lured in by Stephen the Nuclear Man. Stephen's going to have a story later. I hope. I mean, please. But we have Shante here. So, Shante, welcome to the madness. And thank you for being a part of this. And let's hear what you've got.
Resurrection by Shante McCoy. Moss lay on the floor, eyes clenched, her legs stretched parallel while her arms extended at 90 degrees. She breathed shallowly to control the rise of her flat chest. Now Mama and Daddy would feel bad for grounding her. "What are you doing?" Daddy asked. His toe prodded her. Mama joined him. "What's going on?" "I think she's dead." "We'll miss her." Moss fought a smile. "Well," Daddy said, "I'll put her in the garbage can." Moss resurrected. Her eyes popped open. "I'm alive." "Thank goodness. The can was already full." He winked, and she forgave them with a smile.
Aw, that's sweet. Thank you, Shante. Let me see if I can grab a cat. You want to go in the garbage can? Come on, little baby. You want to go in the garbage can? No, she doesn't. She's doing the ticky-tock tail. Aw, you're doing the ticky-tock tail. It reminds me when Nardo used to do the hooky tail. Oh, well. He should have taught you better, because you don't do it right. All right, so, cool. We got more people coming. Ooh! And we've got one of our veterans coming into play here. It's Muncie! Otherwise known as Chris Monroe, as you've heard him on the Drabblecast occasionally. But this, this is going to be good. Oh, yeah. Folks, those of you who are new to this, you're like, oh, what the hell is all this about? Why does he keep rambling? This is what you've been waiting for. May I bring to you Muncie.
Greetings from the Munz Cave. By which I mean I've gotten lost inside a cave. It's dark here, and I'm frightened. But you didn't come here to hear about me. Here's a story, written by me. Making Other Plans, by Chris Monroe. It's been said that life's what happens when you're making other plans. And that's why I make a lot of plans. Some general plans, moving in with the woman I love, reworking my schedule to include more time to write, those sorts of things. Others are grander plans. Building super weapons, using them to subjugate mankind, world domination. I'll tell you, The second thing's better. With that in mind, I'd like to offer an addendum to the expression. Life's what happens when you're making other plans. Living is what happens when you're blackmailing the United Nations using an orbital weapons platform. Flash fiction at munzeestories.blogspot.com tweets at munzeemunzee. Here's a fun game. I promise that no matter what next week's prompt is, I'll use it as an excuse to reference a bit of pop culture. At some point during the recording of your story, why not guess which one I'll reference? Any and all winners will receive one mixtape, courtesy of Munzee, presented either on compact disc or, if you're old school like that, on actual cassette tape. Pay attention to the prompt, think of where my mind might go, and let's see who's been paying attention to the weird nonsense I've written.
Thank you, Munzee. Ooh, that's going to be exciting. Ooh, I wonder who it's going to be. Now we got to pick a topic that's going to really throw him off, like Schmidio killed the Schmidio star. And then it'll be like, ha ha, we got you cornered, Munzee. And I really don't want the Buggles. Never mind. Okay, so everyone get your thing. We're building up some really fun things here. Not only are we doing the stories, but now you are matching wits with Munzee. That actually could be its own podcast. Speaking of matching wits with people, there is none more witty and glib in Second Life than Sophia Wittershins of Prim Perfect Magazine and Designing Worlds and, well, pretty much everything. Everything that happens on the grid, Sophia is there. Even when she's asleep, she sleep is there. Sleep, press, walk, I don't know. Somnambule, I'm not very good with Greek. But still, Sophia has joined us this time, and she has a story for it. It's crazy. All these people that are joining us have stories. Oh, anyway, I'll go ahead and play the mixtape.
The Lavender Summer by Sophia Wittershins. That summer before the war, in the cottage in Provence, father fighting with lecture notes, and mother with the domestique, Bobo, Joss and I running wild in the Lavender Hills with Lily and Véronique from the Villa Raymond and Martin, the schoolmaster's son. Lovely Lily, so adored by Martin. Yet it was me he kissed that night. As I felt his lips, I was already preparing the story for the girls at school. Years later, I met him again, a famous actor. He didn't remember me, or the kiss. So I asked about Lily. He shrugged. They were Jews.
Ah, so many lost. Oh, well. Thank you, Sophia. Although, wait. He wasn't Mel Gibson, was he? No, never mind. Okay, so, I'm gonna get so much hate mail. It's been a while since I've gotten hate mail. Remember, folks, you can go to the website at podcasting.isfullofcrap.com and send me hate mail. Although, how do you send hate mail from a website? There's a feedback or other stuff there. I don't know. Just come up with something creative. Skywrite over Houston. Hate mail! And, you know, huh? When it's raining, I can't see anything. Do you get your money back if that happens? I don't know. So, more stories. We need more stories. Oh, good, we have some. Here's another one from Botgirl Questy. Now remember, we're counting authors, not stories. So, I know you're trying to pad the count here, but still, it's okay. Folks can send in more than one. They always can, but for the purposes of this challenge, I was like trying to get 100 different people in here. You know, we don't just want one person sending in 100, because then it's like, oh, Lord, it's like William Burroughs reading the phone book. You know, if you want to hear real William Burroughs reading the phone book kind of boring, listen to my stories during the week. Instead, you get this exciting story by Botgirl Questy.
I'm lucky and know it.
Not a single person I've been close to has died during my 53 years of life. I haven't even had a pet die on me. It makes me nervous. I know it's only a matter of time. My father was in the hospital a year ago with what could have been a fatal illness, but he recovered before death could pry my clutching hands from the icy numbness of denial. I intellectually accept the inevitability of sickness, old age, and death, but my heart won't go there. I will not mourn until I must.
Man, there are some powerful stories this time around. Oh, maybe I should associate all of these weekly challenges with various things. Nah, we need some silly ones. Thank you, Bot Girl Questing. Now, next up, we've got, whoa! Just looking in the inbox here. No, this can't be real. Grace McDonough? Cool! Oh, man. Ha ha ha! You're on my turf now! Actually, that's okay. I don't do crazy, horrible things much. Actually, I edit the crazy, horrible things out. So Grace McDonough, who does performs at Key West on Saturdays and here and there. And does Salome still have the slip there? I don't know. But Grace, it is great to see that you're being a part of this. And it just, thank you. And now I'm going to play your story, and hopefully I won't regret thanking you in advance, because it will be like, okay, so that idiot down in you, just, you'd never do that, would you? Please?
They told me that it's peaceful. A gentle exhale, a whisper, one final note. But I don't really know. I've never been there at that moment. Once I had the chance, but I decided to stay safely at home, far enough away so the last pulsating patterns of molecules would dissipate before they reached my face. Now we have magnets on the refrigerator that remind us, don't let yesterday eat up too much of today, and finish each day and be done with it. And oh shit, we better use this half-off coupon before it too expires.
Thank you, Grace. And, oh, shh, I forgot to put the explicit tag on. Just, yeah. Oh, what's really cool? You know those ketchup packets, you know, for years and years and years of squeeze and you make a mess? Well, they have these new dip-and-squeeze ones now. You tear the thing off and it's something to dip in. So it's even more plastic that winds up in the landfill. Oh, so should I break these apart into, like, part one, part two, part three, part four, part five, and then you can listen to one or two and go, like, I wish he'd shut up. I don't know. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put this all into one, and then afterwards I'm going to break it up into multiple parts. So, at this point, flip your record over, and let's go to side two. Welcome to side two. Silly. Next up, yet another person who's new to the podcast. It is Mistletoe Ethaniel. Recently blew up her store and sim and home and moving over to a new location. But hey, new beginnings. So here's Mistletoe, and welcome to the fun. And let's hear what you've got for us.
When the golden-eyed baby came to the temple, the elders said her destiny was to bless us all with gifts of the gods. I raised her, alone, sheltered from disease, death, heartache, betrayal. Her soul would remain pure, uncorrupted by life. But as time and age took my strength and made me frail, she grew worried. I will go, she said at last, and find a way to cure you. Helplessly, I watched her walk blindly out the door, into the world. Now the elders say the girl is lost, that life will destroy her. I say they're wrong.
They are wrong. They are wrong. Stick to your guns. Oh, sorry. I'm getting all worked up here. Thank you, Mistletoe. And I'm looking forward to more from everyone who's giving this a shot. Although, okay, come on, I know. You're just doing this to drain me of money so that it all goes to Relay for Life. But that's okay, too. That's the whole purpose of this thing. So, just... Alright, let's keep going here. Yet another new person to this whole crazy wild thing. It's Viridian Frog. And Abernathy says, it's my sister. So, hello, Abernathy's sister, Viridian Frog. And the converted and into MP3. So, just drag and drop and away we go.
They can't always get better. But this is the dark side of life. It ends. Sometimes, even the end is a gray area. Here in this gray, I walk often. Keep them breathing, beating, blinking. Is this life? What quantifies the noun? Communication, warmth, or just simple function? The answer varies. These lungs breathe, this heart beats, these eyes blink, but the soul lifted out of the vessel, leaving behind what others need, giving quality to the term for many, perhaps quantifying it for those left here to weep. Simply, life is a gift, yours to have and yours to give.
Thank you, Viridian. And I'd like to mention to folks, in addition to Relay for Life, if you have not, not only made sure you've got organ donor thing checked on your ID, but make sure that your family also knows that this is what you want. Because really, I mean, what good are my kidneys going to do? Unless they're, grilled up and fed to the cats. But, ooh, they might actually like that. Ooh, I'm going to make a note of that. Hold on. I need to write that on my driver's license. Across the front in magic marker. Give kidneys to cats. Got it. All right. Let's brighten things up a little bit by bringing in Caden O'Connell of the Avatar Repertory Theater. Cool. I love when he does the Garrison Killer stuff over at Shaunakee. And, well, we have him here today. So, welcome aboard, Caden. And he's got a light one and then a slightly darker one. Let's go ahead and give a listen. Caden, take it away.
A Rabbit's Life by Caden O'Connell. A rabbit must hop. This one was crawling, his two back legs paralyzed. I named him Earl and took Earl to the animal shelter. Not good, the vet said. He can't live in the wild with those bad legs. Leave him here. We'll see what we can do. 6 weeks later, I went back, afraid, wondering if Earl lived. He was shot with a pellet gun, the vet said. The pellet lodged next to nerves. Good news, however. The paralysis was temporary, caused by swelling from movement of the pellet. Earl went back to the park, twitched, and hopped away.
Yay! Earl got better. Cool. That's so sweet. All right, now let's go to the dark story. I'm scared.
A Meaning of Life by Caden O'Connell. It has no meaning, Tony said. In great pain, he looked at Mary and held the gun to her head. They will be here soon, Mary. Our work will be done. I choose to fight, she responded with a defiant radiance. My life and my death will have meaning. I can hear them. Outside the door, he pleaded. An army. Cold, soulless, and bent with anger. They will pass no mercy, or will not care if we offer a show of bravery. Give me the gun, she ordered. One shot pierced the air, then another, and two hearts stopped beating.
Whoa, you're right, that was heavy, man. Thanks. Whew. Oh, I gotta fan myself off here. And, let's see, going through the inbox, we're getting a little bit every day, and just in case you're wondering, I'm recording this part of it Sunday, so the other weekly challenge has gone up, and now we've got a week to go. So these are the people that sent in recordings for the next week, and, ooh, man, that one just got me. Next up, we have Abernathy Button, or Everdeen, or whatever her display name is now. I don't know. I get so confused. This family, that family, What I do know is that it's the same person writing these wonderful stories. Let's find out what Nora's up to. All right, here we go. I just gotta drag and drop this. I know I can do it. I've already done it 15 times. I can do it.
As much as Nora wanted to believe this was for research, she knew in the back of her head all research funding had been pulled 6 months ago. She was just obsessing. At this stage, her obsession had taken to watching movies and listening to music. She went on speed dates just to hear what men thought the meaning was. No one knew the answer. People called her crazy. Her family begged her to stop the madness. Nora would not have it. She knew there was an answer. Returning the movie, It's a Wonderful Life, she was struck by another vehicle and thrown from her car. She lay in the grass. With her final breath, she whispered, "Oh, I get it now."
Yee, that's... Man, we're taking a dark turn here on the weekly challenge. Thank you, Abernathy. Always wear your seatbelt, people. Otherwise, you'll wind up donating organs. Yeah, it's just... Maybe I should have put in a requirement here of everything happy with duckies and bunnies and... No, that wouldn't be the weekly challenge now, would it? Oh, well. Oh, your mom's here. Cadence. maybe she can bring a little sanity to this. What's your story? I'm almost afraid.
Ava sits at the table, turning the yellow car over and over between her fingers, thinking to herself, college or career? She sets the car down on the career track. College didn't help her that much. Well, that last time anyway, right? She draws a card and smirks. Computer consultant? Yeah, right. She reaches for the next stack, flips the card and frowns, thinking, well, at least that spinner goes haywire a lot. She spins the wheel, then moves her car. 1, 2, 3, 4. Stop! Getting married! Laughing to herself, she wonders if he's tall. Okay, Nate. It's your turn.
I recognize that voice. Hi, Sashy! Cool. Okay, had Sashy read it. Yay! Well, thank you to both of you. And maybe Sashy has one of his own. I don't know. We'll find out. We got at least a week to go here. Although, from your point, it's all today. Unless you're hitting stop and, oh man, that's so many stories, I can't take any more. And then you wait a little while and then, oh my god, I gotta hear the rest of them. And speaking of hearing the rest of them, here's Christine. Yay! She's one of the five islanders here and keeps Nowhereville happy and beautiful and peaceful with 10,000 mirrors. That's okay, she keeps them stuffed in bags. Bag full of miru. And then you know, I don't know, what's in the bag? A miru. 20 of them. Don't say anything. Okay, so here's Christine and her story, and welcome to... You've been wondering what I've been doing all these years, huh? Oh, well, here's her story.
The estate was to be liquidated, and part of the proceeds used to pay for her cat's care for the rest of their lives. The remainder would go toward her life data storage, backup, administration, and power costs. The development team agreed that since she had been both an investor and an early adopter, the digitization of the cats would be bundled with her package. They would be of familiar comfort for her once the conversion was complete. Thanking the attorney, the team carefully picked up the carriers. The lawyer silently pressed upload, and she began her journey to the cloud.
Into the cloud! Aww, if I could be with my kitties forever, I'd go into the cloud. And then I'd have to clean litter boxes and vacuum and... Okay, maybe not. Thank you, Christine. And those of you who haven't been to the clock tree, the stained glass that's in the windows, that was made by Christine. And I was like, oh, you have to have something colorful in there. No, I like the brown motif one. Grr! That's the one I like. You know, and all the brown books and all the brown this. It's a brown room! It's a, you know, it's supposed to be wood. Because it's a tree and wood and, you know. Everyone was like, you should have elven patterns. Oh, hell no. Oh, sorry. Just get a little carried away. Next up, we have Thomas. He's a regular here on the 100 Word Stories podcast weekly challenge. And it's just, he's got two of them now. So, although I have a feeling he's going to sneak in a third and a fourth and a fifth and a twelfth. But anyway, here are his two. And I know you're going to enjoy them. And he puts them together in collections and has them up there on the cloud. So, Thomas, let's hear your stories.
Mom brought me a cold drink. I had been under her car, ready to tackle the inspection and rebuild of the automatic transmission in her Mustang. I pried the transmission loose from the engine's flywheel. A couple of quarts of warm red transmission fluid ebbed from the transmission tail section as I rested it on my stomach and between my legs. I started laughing. She asked, "What's so funny?" I said, "I think I know a little of what it's like to give life to something. You know, a baby." She laughed so hard she held her stomach with both hands. Life begins at 80, or so I've heard. Only 10 more years, and I can look forward to really letting go, letting it all hang out, and not be arrested for indecent exposure on public transport. I will be born anew, and the memory and consequences of all my dastardly and despicable acts will vaporize. The abandonment of 3 families and 9 children, a very large overdue income tax bill, scores of credit card balances, my military service, the theft of mother's diet pills, and the promise of the donation of my vital giblets pledged to the organ bank.
Thank you, Thomas, for that story, but more importantly, thank you for your generous donation of your vital giblets. There are so many people that go without functioning vital giblets, and, well, you hear about them around Thanksgiving, but you never hear about them during Easter or Arbor Day or... Name another holiday that isn't Thanksgiving. It's so hard to think of them. But anyway, oh, wait, no. I was going to say Halloween, but sometimes there are people like, oh, trick or treat, here are some vital giblets. Oh, good! Oh, I was losing my mind again, wasn't I? I should probably take a break. Today is Monday. Yeah, you can tell the difference. I mean, yesterday was Sunday, today is Monday. As I said before, I'm getting these pre-recorded, and next up, we have Lauren Wayland! Is that enough of a introduction there? Do I need to have some sort of music? Lauren Wayland! Sort of like Don Pardo. I tried, okay? Lauren does these things Tuesdays at 5 and Second Life Cookie, the thing and the this and the that and the comedy and all of that, and it's streamed and everyone can enjoy, and then you can go back to the archives and have a laugh. And speaking of archives, we've got archives here of thousands and thousands of stories, but you probably won't laugh at them. But, Lauren Wayland. Here's Lauren's story, and welcome to the podcast.
Morning light crept through the slivers, curtains sparkling the joy of a new day. Wake up, brush teeth, shower, dress, ready to meet full light. Java in hand, I head out to the machine ballet movement. Engine purrs, garage door opens, roar, park, elevator, office, daytime noise, smartphones, printers, fans, electricity harnessed, lunch, plastic packaged greens, spacemen, squeeze dressing, green tea. Afternoon light diffuses through clouded glass. Time clicks by. Elevator down, shift to drive and home. Dinner, glass of wine, salmon-colored salmon, coffee, chocolate, TV, internet, as the light turns to darkness. Bedtime. Life, one day at a time.
Cool. A Day in the Life of Lauren Wayland. Thank you, Lauren. I like that. That was kind of a ooh, ooh, ah, you know, just one punch after the other. My life? Wake up, go to work, get home. Oh, cats. Log on. Oh, speaking of logging on, who's next? Zachman? Zachman! Oh, cool, he came back. Well, he's been coming back for... He's one of the regulars. So, Zachman, let's hear your story.
I took a teen who is overly sensitive to noise, smell, sound, and touch to Independence Day festivities in a carnival-like atmosphere with classic cars built before catalytic converters, diesel engines, powering food stands, and crowds. We watched a parade. The smell of someone smoking who had walked behind us displeased the teen. He jumped when someone touched his shoulder to apologize for being too close to him. Sparks from someone's illegal firework hit his jacket. As we stood on the pier on the river, I thought, maybe life really is what happens on the way to see the fireworks.
Thank you, Zachman. And happy 4th of July! That's kind of like saying happy Turkey Day, isn't it? Happy Independence Day! There you go. I manned up and I said it. Whew. That takes a lot out of me. All right, I'm going to take a break, and you guys can have fun with Lizzie Goodcoff's story. Oh, God, she writes on every dash and every wave and every challenge, and she just writes and writes. So when's the book coming out? Oh, wait, I got a cat on the bed. All right, so I'm going to go play with the cat and take a nap while you guys enjoy Lizzie. That wasn't quite the Don Pardo voice, was it?
Life. I put it in the jar, that glimpse of life I still had, to keep it, to preserve it, to be able to go back to it any time I wanted. But the more life withered, the more I panicked. So I opened the jar and let it fly. I freed life. Go! Even if you leave me alone here to struggle with my pain, go. But life would not leave. It floated about, and even when it seemed to go away, it always came back to sit on my shoulder and watch over me. There's hope. And life nodded. This was my story for this week. Visit me in my blog at lizziegoodcoff.blogspot.com. And talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Lizzie. And I want to point out that, yes, it is very good that people invite others to read their more stuff beyond words, 100 count, I tripped over my script. But still, go see her site. And everybody who told me what their site is and said, it's okay, you can share it, that's going to be up in the show notes, as is tradition. So you can go there and click, 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 and visit all the places. Maybe you'll find some place that's better than this one. And then you guys can gather over there and do your podcast there, and I'll just say, okay, it's the weekly challenge. Only one story this week by Planet Z. Actually, this next person I would hope would stay with me here. Please, please don't abandon me! Next up is Lalani Carver, who says, this is my first time recording, and it's like, GAH! Actually, she has G-A-H and 1, 2, 3 exclamation points. So that's a pretty emphatic GAH. But I here, judge for yourself. I think she did a good job of it. Here's her story.
Go in health and come back in health, she'd say. Then she got sick every time we traveled. So we stopped traveling. We all texted updates compulsively that last week. Dad took Mom to hospice, but only until they deliver the bed. Later, Dad says he might take her home tomorrow, but your dad says she's not going home. Bed delivery canceled. Headed down. After the funeral, stopping off for raincoats. First, Shiva. Your brother is creeping me out right now. Second, Shiva. The smoked fish tray arrived. Awesome! ETA? Next week. I got the job. Life is whacked sometimes.
Oh, do we have to wait on the smoked fish tray? Well, hopefully we'll get a few more stories in, and then it'll get here, and then we can all enjoy. Thank you, Lalani. And was that a cat in the beginning? Because you get 2 bonus points if there's a cat in there. What do you think, Boo-in? Do you like that? No, he's not going to talk. Nardo used to talk during the weekly challenges, but Bruin? No. I can shake him all I want to. Nope, he's not going to say a thing. And Mist? Oh, pff, don't. Pff. So, right. I hope the fact that I'm now recording this Tuesday isn't too obvious. We have 2 more stories. Let's see, the first one. Oh, Gideon! When he's not busy beating me in words with friends, he's running that pub there. With the game things in it, and such. Anyway, here's Gideon and his story. You'll enjoy this one.
I paused at the door, glanced back, and said, I love you. She looked up from making dinner. Hurry back, I love you. We'd pledged to always say those words when we parted, no matter the reason or how long we'd be apart. If something happened, we wanted the last memory in life to be, I love you. This seems silly. I was going to the corner store. I'd be back in 10 minutes. I was. But she was gone. Her note said it was some guy she met at an RFL fundraiser. I love you. Right. Life sucks.
Darn that RFL. Those horrible fundraisers tearing couples apart. Forget I said that. I'm going to make a note to edit this. Thank you, Gideon. I just keep digging deeper and deeper, don't I? Well, hopefully we can come up with something to sort of cover up my faux pas there. Cinnamon Mistwood's story got recorded. Okay, great. So the whole system is working, where I was telling folks, hey, if you can't record it, go look at the page full of volunteers, and, well, the website blew up. But I got that page back, that's all that matters. I mean, 6 years of blogging, of saying horrible and mean things and disgusting things. Okay, that stuff, who cares? It's the RFL stuff, so that I can pretend to be a good person. Here's Letty Pottier reading for Cinnamon. So, take it away, guys.
I Have Lost My Marbles by Cinnamon Mistwood. They're gone. I had no idea until someone told me. I look everywhere. Some are close by, others scattered and hidden. I pick up as many as I can find, under the couch, out in the yard. The cat is batting one around. I hold them in my hands, beautiful, jewel-like, cold and smooth. My cat's eyes, Steely's, Aggie's, and my favorite Cleary make a beautiful picture collected together in one place. Almost organized. I let my fingers feel them again. Stunning. I pluck one out, close one eye, and let it fly. Another one. Another direction. Shoot.
Ah, marbles. I remember those days. All the marbles gathered up, and then we'd build Lego structures and slingshot the marbles at them and destroy them, and... Oh, sorry. Thanks, Cinnamon, and for Lenny for reading that. And let's just keep rolling on here.